Let us all read together Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Let us look to the Lord for his grace. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, praise you, wonderful time of fellowship that you have granted unto us together. Lord, it is the second day of first month of this year 2015. Lord, thus far, you have done great and mighty things in our lives. Above all, Lord, you have sought us and you have saved us, and once again you have reconciled us as your dear children. Lord, as a little flock, we are gathered together in your name to listen to your still small voice. Lord, we remember your word, fear not, little flock, it is Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Lord, speak to us. Hide me behind your cross. Put your words in my mouth, that I may say, thus saith the Lord. Help us, Lord. Surround this entire place with your angels. And Lord, we commit, we humble ourselves, submit this simple prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here, we see what God says. This is what High and Lofty One says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Here, the first line itself, the description of Almighty God, is High and Lofty One. Can you understand that? He inhabits, who lives forever. His life has no beginning and no ending. And he says, my name is holy. And it implies those who are listening to his, that voice, as he is holy, he wants us to be holy. See, his address, high end, holy place. See, just now we sang, darkness tries to hide. In his presence, there is no darkness. He is the God of light. That's what he says. His address is whole, holy and high place. And he lives forever. And his desires, he wants to dwell within the poor and contrite heart. And there are reasons. What the reasons? He says, the last verse, in the last part of the verse, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is what we need, the beginning of this year. Our hearts may be revived, that may see his beauty, that may be a true worshipper, that we may follow along and listen to his still small voice and walk worthy of his calling. This is all what he wanted. See, it is like God giving us a business card. Hey, my name is holy. My address is high and low, holy place. And I live forever. I want to dwell with you, within you. If you want, just call me. I'll come and dwell with you. As if he is giving us a business card. He is giving all the addresses, his name, and as a second address, he wants us, he wants to dwell within ourselves. See, that the Christ dwelling in our hearts, that brings the revival to the humble, that gives the revival to the contrite ones, that we can experience, that cannot be hidden. The city on the hill cannot be hidden. No one lights the candle and put it under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick so that people may see that light. Once the revival happens within ourselves, it will be shown, it will be seen by everybody. See, the high and lofty one, he sees the entire things and he considers whoever is lowly in heart, he wants to come and revive that. Beloved of the Lord, this beginning of this year, I think still some of the Christmas presents are still not opened, and still we smell the January 1st, beginning of the year, the food and everything. But added to that, add this component within ourselves. Christ dwelling in ourselves. He is directing our paths. And he is leading us. And he is talking to us. And we are looking to him. See, this kind of a wonderful vision, if you start our lives will be transformed. Not only our lives, we will transform others. That's what we see here. See, there is a process. See, God dwelling within you and me. See, there is a process. See, first of all, we have to understand how great and mighty he is. See, there are many people, whenever God appeared to them, they immediately humbled themselves and allowed God to work in their lives. And ultimately God took care of them, he transformed them and made them reach the destination place. That's how the process started. See, we have to understand the God first. We can sing, "How great thou art! Darkness hides in your presence, Lord." See, to understand, to begin with, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. We are all, after all, his creation. If you understand that, our hearts will melt. We'll become poor and humble. And we can clearly see how great and mighty God is. Only when we humble ourselves. And we must reduce and he must increase. When we have that kind of a relationship, so we will understand what God is. The earth is Lord's and its fullness thereof. That's what King David says. See, you cannot do anything. That's what Saul, when he was going on the road of Damascus, he wanted to do things on his own. He wanted to persecute the church of Christ. But God met him. Then suddenly he humbled. Because the earth is Lord's. Everything you cannot kick against the pricks. Whatever God has placed, you cannot re-engineer or do any kind of things. You cannot add on or you cannot see. By every word that comes out of the mouth of God, we live. How? God said, "Let there be light." God just said, "Let there be vegetation." God said, "Let there be animal kingdom. Let there be anything." Everything is given to this human being, Adam and Eve, for food. And he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." That's what he said, simply. See, that, hey, the food that I get, it is out of opening his fists. He is feeding us. That's what we see in Psalms. See, that's how the air that we breathe, it is created by God. So we live in his created earth. If you understand that, how great he is, how great God he is, we will understand. Then immediately we will become humble and he comes and dwells within us. See, the we have to, second point, we have to respond to his call. There is a call. Jesus Christ, when he was walking, when he was ministering, he said, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all that are heavy, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." He says, "I will give you rest." How this is possible? He is saying, "Come unto me. Come unto me." God is standing over here, and if he is asking you to come, you need not to stand at the Redwood Road. You have to come near. The next verse he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, you can say, "Lord, I am coming to you. I need that rest." Then he will say, "Take my yoke upon you." The yoke will not be more than, not even more than 7 feet. Not even more than, okay, for our imagination, let us say it is 10 feet. See, you have to come closer to the Lord to that extent. See, he is calling. We have to come to very near to him. Then he will say, "Take my yoke upon you." And he's telling, "Learn of me." The more important thing is that when you take the yoke of Jesus Christ upon yourself, he is on one side and you are on the other side. By default, you will be looking at him and you will be learning what he is. See, that's what all God wants us. He created us for his glory. We lost that glory. He wanted us to be seen in his own image. Again, he wanted us to see the Christ may be formed in us. That's what, so that he may get, that his glorious plans and purposes is fully accomplished in and through us. That's what, come on, when you go to near to him, he will say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls." The first thing that you go to Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ is, he is lowly in heart. He said, "Learn from me." You will learn that subject. Lowly in heart, you will be learning. "And you shall find rest to our soul." Immediately, once you have that condition, lowly in heart, then you will automatically finding rest to our souls. This is what Jesus says. "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." This is not something very heavy. It's not a big cross that I am putting it on your shoulders. It is simply denying yourself and following. This is what we have to respond to his call. We have to come very close to him, near to him, and let God do his work. See, when you are in the presence of the God, what God is, you will be knowing. What we are, we will be knowing. See, that's what fascinates me more is that when Adam and Eve sinned, when God is coming, their iniquities were exposed. "Lord, we committed sin. That's why we are hiding. And we covered ourselves with fig leaves." That's what they said. They were unable to enter into the presence of God. What they are, they came to know in the presence of God. See, if we can see on the cross of Calvary, when one thief was mocking Jesus Christ. "If you are a God, save yourself and save us also." But other man, he repented. "I deserve this punishment because I am a thief. I was stealing all along my life. I deserve this punishment." "Lord, you don't. Lord, remember me when you come in the kingdom." See, in that particular moment itself, what a great understanding that thief has come into. "Lord, you should die for my sin. I am a sinner. he should die for my sin. But there's death cannot prevail over you. You will rise again. You will establish the kingdom. You will come again. When you come again, Lord, remember me. Give me a small place in your kingdom. That's what he said. He did not made a big prayer. See, he accepted. He believed. And he confessed, Lord, I am sinner. He believed that he can save. He confessed, only Jesus Christ can provide eternal life when he comes. See, that's what, if you allow God to do his work, his spirit comes. No one can say that God, Jesus is Lord unless with the spirit of God. That's what we read it in 1 John chapter 4. See, we have to be filled with the Spirit. So once we are filled with the Spirit, what things happen? All things will go away. The newness, the new life will come to us. That's what we read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yes, I know everyone, most of us, we wanted to wear new clothes. We wanted to have new cars. We wanted to have everything new, new houses, new things. But consider the importance of new life. The new life that beginning with Jesus Christ, the God-given life, the transformed life, the old is completely gone away. The new thing. What a wonderful. The new thing. We desire new clothes. We desire new things. New food. New experience. But the new life. Have you ever imagined? That is given freely to us. By Jesus Christ. That's new life. See, then. Once the Spirit is dwelling in us. We will be producing the fruits of the Spirit. The Galatians 2:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So we will become all these characteristics. We will be one by one will be added to us. So we will be a Christ dwelling in us. And he, Christ in us, we in him. See, what a wonderful relationship we come to. See, that's John 15:7. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye will be my disciples. See, Christ in us, it will not keep you quiet. It will let you produce the spirit of fruits. And we will expose the Christ. We know him and we will make him know. This is the steps. The Christ, God of God, who is sitting in heaven, he wants to dwell in ourselves. His name is Holy. If you look, I'll take up one what Jesus Christ has done when he was ministering. John chapter 4, verse 4 to 30. We'll see completely how the things happened very clearly there. John's Gospel chapter 4, verses 4 to 30th. Maybe we'll go through one by one. See, this is Jesus Christ talking to a Samaritan woman. See, that time, in those days, Samaritans and Jews have no relationship. So, they were not even having any kind of a relation of giving and taking. That means, if you want something from Samaritan, the Jews wanted something from Samaritans, Samaritans will say no. And similarly, the Samaritans also. See, at that time, Jesus Christ, he had to go through Samaria. Chapter 4, verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria, and he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about sixth hour. In the noon time, Jesus Christ was going, and he had to go through Samaria, and he stayed at that well. And it was noontime, sixth hour. In those days, because I am from India, see, that part of the world, see, people go for water, fetching the water. It happens in the morning, early in the morning or in the evening. But noontime, no one goes because people all go to work. See, this woman, Jesus Christ, at sixth hour, he was there. At seventh verse. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" See, he said only, "Will you give me a drink?" Even that woman, she is coming at noon. She was very fearful. See, no one goes at that in the noon time. She is afraid of the society, basically. She does not want to be seen by others. We can glean that from this verse. See, at that time, miraculously, Jesus Christ was asking, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, ninth verse, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She was completely reluctant. She was not interested to give Jesus Christ a drink. She was completely away from God's grace, and she is not knowing who he is. Look at another conversation. Then Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him that he had given you the living water." So Jesus Christ immediately said, if you know the gift of God, and if you know the person who is talking to you, you would have asked a living water. See, here, Jesus Christ kind of acting as a salesperson of a living water. "I have the living water. I can give it to you for free of cost. If you have asked me, only if you need only to ask, I would be giving you that living waters." Then immediately, the hard, stubborn woman, "How can you ask me drink? You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan." She said that way. Now she, little bit, life transformed within her. She addresses 11th verse. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" See, immediately her life, something made her to change. Then immediately she little politeness, "Sir, are you greater than our father Jacob? You don't have anything with you." Her focus is there on the, she wanted that water. She says, "You don't have anything with you. You don't have any bucket and rope to pull the water. The well is so deep. Are you greater than our father Jacob?" So here is the interesting thing. She knows the word of God. The Samaritan woman, she knows the word of God. She knew this is the well dug by Jacob, and they were all fed by this well. Are you greater than Jacob? So her mind was filled in the adoration and the worship of Jacob. She had the respect towards his forefathers. It is in her heart, it is there. She questioned Jesus Christ. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Then Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this well water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up unto eternal life. See, first, her focus was, Samaritan woman's focus was the well from the water. The water from that well. So God will bring that well, that water, and give it to me, so that I will be filled. But Jesus Christ said, if you drink that water, you will be thirsty again. But the water that I give you, it will work within yourself. It well up and produce the spring of welling up to eternal life. The water that I give you, see, Jesus Christ, he is shifting gears and changing her focus completely from the worldly perspective to the heavenly perspective. So she is living, she wanted that water to fill her thirst. Jesus saying, if you drink that, you will be thirsty again. If the water that I offer to you will work within yourself to eternal life. Then woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Still, she's saying, okay, Lord, I want that water. Give me that water so that I will have that water. I need not to come to this well again. She is not completely understanding, but she's desirous, she's coveting to have that living water. Then Jesus immediately told her, go call your husband and come back. See, now the litmus test. See, one by one, see, she is desirous to have that water. Then Jesus Christ is telling, go call your husband. Then immediately she says, I have no husband, she replied. Then Jesus said to her, you are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. But she said, I have no husband. Then Jesus Christ told her about her past life. Hey, this was what is your past life, and this is your present life. The one with you are living with is not your husband. Then she crumbled, and she said, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem." See, she, first of all, she was not at all interested. See, Jesus Christ turned this woman not interested to somewhat interested. That's what Steve Lane, he tells, our previous pastor, not interested to somewhat interested. Somewhat interested to interested. Interested to a follower. A follower a disciple matter. These are the steps. When we come to Jesus Christ, initially we will be hard, stubborn. We don't want to accept Jesus Christ. But when you Look at the offer that he gives. Then we will be interested. We will transform our lives step by step, step by step. See how this is, the things are happening over here. See, immediately I can see you as a prophet. She recognized him just because telling her past life. She perceived that, yeah, Lord, you are a prophet. Then she immediately, to our surprise, says, our fathers worship. See, now she is trying to coming into the folds of, into the lineage of Jews. Our fathers. She is not telling, up to that time she was Samaritans and Jews have no relationship. See, now her focus, how suddenly it changed to a worship. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews, see, she was pointing to Gerizim, a mountain of Samaritans' worship place. And Jews' worship place is in Jerusalem. She's making that distinction. But Jews claim the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem. Then Jesus Christ immediately, believe me, 21, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. See, now the shift, instead of waters, the living waters, instead of living waters, the now the shift is going to the towards worship. You worship the Gerizim, the Samaritans worship. They worship the things that they do not know. The salvation should come from the Jews. Really, Father is looking for those who worships him in spirit and in truth. See, these kind of words, understand, this is the water that Jesus Christ gives. It will be a water that wells up to eternal life. It goes inside and produces works outside. See, this woman, Jesus Christ was transforming her. And she also has got that knowledge. She knows what is worship. But Jesus Christ is slowly focusing her worship. Focus to a true worshiping. God is spirit. He dwells within us. Once he dwells within ourselves, then you will become a true worshipper. Then you worship him in truth and spirit. Such thing God the Father is seeking. He is after those people. She is understanding one by one. The woman said, the 25th verse, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Now she is understanding the process, the plan of salvation. Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, from the seed of Jew, he is coming and he will save all that are lost. The lost sheep of Israel, he is coming. See, she clearly told, Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain all these things to us. Then Jesus declared, 26th verse, I who speak to you, am he. Woman, it is I am that is speaking to you, is Messiah. I have come to save that are lost, See, that time, disciples came. The disciples, they went away, they came. Then Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking to a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" They were standing there, looking at what is happening there. The most important thing is that here, the transformation. 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be a Christ?" See, she left. She came to that well for water. Now she left that water jar at that well itself. And she went back to the town very proudly. Earlier she was very scaringly coming at noon hour. Now she is filled with that spirit. She went into the town. "Come, see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Come, see that person. Come, see that person. He will tell you what is your past, what is your present, what is your future to be. He will give the eternal life. He has that living water. He gave me that. Come and see that person." Then they came out of the town and made their way towards him. That lady whose life is transformed at the well, she became a vessel to carry the gospel of Christ. She was afraid of to come in the morning time to draw the water. She chose to come at noontime, at the time Jesus Christ met her. He transformed her life. She accepted. She now the complete process. She understood what God is, what Messiah is, what he offers, and what he has, why he is coming to this world, and what is the purpose and the plan. Everything now she understood in moment of time, with a little conversation with Lord Jesus Christ. She humbled, she desired that living water. She wanted that God to dwell within herself. Then immediately her life becoming a welling up of springs, welling up to eternal life. She had that, now she is producing she is filled with that spirit. Now all her past life gone away. She completely left. The previous purpose is to draw the water, that she left it at that well. And she is moving towards that city and telling everyone proudly, "I have seen a person who told me everything. Now you come and see that person. Meet him. What he offers, meet him." That's how she stirred up the entire town. See, she was producing the fruit of the Spirit. Earlier she had no love towards that entire city. Now she has that love. Now she has that joy. The joy of salvation. Now she wanted that joy to be there for everyone. See, beloved of the Lord, what God gives us, the gifts of the Spirit, or a fruit of the Spirit, it is to sustain you and it is for the others. See, suppose God has given you spirit of teaching, it cannot be contained. If I contain myself, it is not useful for you. If I spend it, you will understand, it will be useful for you. That's how the God works. All the gifts are gifts of God. It is for the edification for the entire body, entire people. If God has given you the spirit of praying, it is not for you, it is for the others. You pray for the others. You help others. God has given you the spirit of helping others. It gives spirit of helping, spirit of knowing the needs. It is for the others. That's how you have to spend. That's how you have to understand. See, now she is producing that spirit.
She has that love. Now, earlier she was not having that love towards the entire city. Now she has the love towards the entire city. She is telling, come, come. See, her life is now transformed, filled with the joy. See, all old things, she is now starting a new life. With the rigor, with the most, power. She started joining. Now Christ dwelling within herself. And he wanted to, Isaiah 57:15 we have seen. He desires to dwell within ourselves. What is the reason? To revive the spirit of the humble. To revive the spirit of the contrite. So this is the revival we needed. God dwelling within ourselves. It cannot be contained. It will be seen. It will be seen to the entire world. We will be like become a light of the world. As God said, you are the light and salt of this earth. Then we will be transformed to that. The light and salt of this earth. We will know him immediately. We will make him known. As the Samaritan woman, she knew him. She knew within herself. She contained the spirit of God within herself. And now she is becoming a true worshipper. Now she is known to the entire city. The wonderful thing is that they came out of the town and made their way towards him. The entire city, one lady, transformed. At least she had drawn people towards Jesus. That's how our lives will be transformed. Beloved, the beginning of this year, allow Christ to dwell in our hearts. If you come to him, if you learn from him, you will know. He says, I am lowly in heart, so that you will find rest to your souls. This is first thing that we learn from Jesus Christ. When we come to him, one of the biggest characters, Jesus Christ, is lowly in heart. God of gods. He did not feel ashamed. Who created of the heaven and earth, to took the form of a man, born to a virgin in a manger, to show us the way. Darkness will have to hide. Darkness. When God created, let there be light, God divided light from darkness. We cannot have that mixture. Darkness part of it, light part of it. No. The darkness will be thrown away in the presence of light. There's a clear-cut separation God made. See, this is what? God of God, the Holy One, whose inhabitation is eternity to eternity, whose name is holy, he says, I will dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also, who is humble and contrite spirit. And to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the contrite one. Beloved, as we come very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we take his yoke upon ourselves, and when we learn from him, he is how humble, how lowly in his heart, that is the biggest blessing. Even Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 5, unseeing the multitude, he went up onto a mountain, and his disciples came unto him. So when he had seen all the people coming to him, he went up onto a mountain, and there his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are they that poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See, God wants to give the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that poor in spirit. The blessing, the first blessing, the greatest blessing is that one only. The poor, becoming poor in heart, the poor in spirit. We will automatically get all these positions, all the fruit of the spirit. then we will be having the right royal entrance to the kingdom of God. That's what the first verse Jesus Christ, he opened his mouth and taught, clearly taught them, made them understood what, how to enter into the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. May God help to lead our lives, that we may be seen poor in spirit and Christ dwelling in us throughout this year to come. May God help us. Shall we close in prayer? Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, praise you for the time of fellowship that you have granted unto us. Lord, you have helped us to hear your still small voice. Lord, you wanted to dwell within ourselves. Lord, help us that we open our hearts, that Christ may dwell in us, that we may have revival of spirit, that we may be a great true witnesses of yours. Lord, we may stir up the entire town, that we may draw people unto Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, Lord. Give us that humble spirit, that Christ may dwell within ourselves fully, throwing away our old things. Lord, help us that we may live life that is expected of you, Lord. Lord, you said, blessed are they that poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Lord, you wanted that kingdom. You are a holy God. You wanted us to be holy. Lord, when Christ dwelling in ourselves, that itself is a wonderful holiness. We will be transformed to a Christ-likeness, Lord. Once again, the image of Christ will be formed within ourselves. What a wonderful provision you have provided to us, Lord. Lord, lead us, guide us with your own eye. Lord, we humble ourselves as a little kids with faith. We ask of thee, Lord, you be with us and guide us. Revive us once again. Humble ourselves, submit this simple prayer with faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.